Welcome to Busting Walls, a Pennsylvania Department of Corrections podcast where we break through the walls and fences of our facilities to provide listeners with a real look inside the field of corrections with one of the nation's top DOCs. And here's your host of Busting Walls, DOC Secretary John Wetzel.
All right, well, good afternoon. Welcome back. This is John Wetzel, Secretary of Pennsylvania Department of Corrections, and I have the honor of being here with one of our excellent librarians, with Ms. Jerry Stewart, who's our librarian at Mahanoy. Good afternoon, Ms. Stewart. How are you doing today?
Great, Mr. Secretary. How are you?
I'm good. So prisons have librarians.
Yes, imagine that.
I bet a bunch of our listeners wouldn't even think about prisons having libraries. So tell us what you do on a daily basis.
Well, the library has a law section and a recreation section. So every day we have people come in for both law. You know, some will come for law, some will come for recreation. People do their legal research if they're challenging their convictions of confinement or if they're challenging their actual conviction. And they'll do various research there. And there's all sorts of resources we have online and in print to help them with that. On the recreation side, we have about a little over 10,000 books, 15 newspapers, and over 40 magazines that they can come in and read. Just like people on the outside, it's hard to afford everything you might want to read yourself. So we're like a public library just for this specific public. And they tend to want the same sort of things that people in regular public libraries want. You know, there's a lot of vampire romances that circulate here. That was the biggest surprise, but people still like westerns and urban novels, and romances are surprisingly popular.
Well, I tell you, I mean, certainly I've been in corrections my whole life and really understand the value of libraries and normalizing the environment. And, you know, I've told people before, I'm like a correctional lifer. So you grew up dying to be a prison librarian?
Strangely, no. later in life.
Shocked.
I didn't even plan to become a librarian until at one point during a period of unemployment, I was reading Cosmopolitan magazine, and there was an article that said, "Shh, there are careers in special libraries." And by the end of the month, I was in library school.
So where does one go to library school?
In Pennsylvania, you can go to Drexel or Pitt University in Pittsburgh. Kutztown has a library undergraduate program. I think they've started a graduate program since I graduated. And Clarion University. There's about 50 accredited programs in the United States, and we have 4 in Pennsylvania.
And where did you go?
I went to Pitt.
Oh, nice. So you're a Pitt Panther, are you? So were you like a big reader and really into books and those kinds of things? Is that what led you to being a librarian?
Well, I was always a big reader, but I didn't necessarily lead me to librarianship. It was, I heard about special libraries from that magazine article, and that's where I saw myself going. You know, special libraries, like corporate libraries, you know, a company that does research, like a pharmaceutical company would have a library. Hallmark greeting cards would have a library. So that was my first entree point. That's where I wanted to end up. But life intervened, and I've done various things since then. I've been in and out of libraries. I've had other jobs in between before I ended up here.
So what was your first library job?
My first real library job after library school was in Atlantic City Free Public Library. I got married a week after I graduated, and the husband found the job first. So I ended, I had to find what was in the area where we ended up living. And that was it. It was great fun. Atlantic City has a great public library. It's like half the city block and 3 stories tall.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I used to drag all my visitors to the library when they come to visit. They really just want to go to the casino.
Well, there's no, they're not precluded from stopping by the library on their way to the slots, right?
Yeah. It got an increasingly short visit every time.
So I understand you actually were in Africa.
Yes. I went to a small country called Malawi. Usually people either have never heard of it or they only know it as where Madonna went to adopt her children.
Well, there's that. Yeah.
Yeah. And Bill Clinton's foundation operates there, so he was there a few times. Otherwise, it's surprisingly similar to Pennsylvania in size, not in shape, but in
Wow, that's pretty amazing. What was it like day to day? Very similar to life in Pennsylvania or not?
Well, I had the time of my life there. I got a lot of opportunities there I wouldn't have had here, just because there's so much more competition for everything here. I mean, only 10% of the country is electrified, so I didn't have a TV or a refrigerator or a stove until like the last 5 years I was there. We sometimes had hot water, sometimes not, but we did always have indoor plumbing. You know, I visit the village, but I never lived in the village, so I was in a city, or what they call a city. There's public transportation, but there was no movie theaters or bowling alleys or shopping malls. If you wanted a chicken for dinner, you'd have to kill it yourself. So,
you built quite a resume over there. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, it was great fun. Yeah, I worked for an investment promotion agency, Library. It's a new government agency, but eventually I just, you know, government. As you might have, I guess, third world governments don't really pay a whole lot. So eventually I ended up with a PR firm, and I did a lot of events planning and written communications work. I did a lot of magazine writing. I did the PR for the stock exchange and for the vice president of the country, mostly the privatization commission.
So you definitely win the podcast ribbon for most eclectic background. And actually, it's not even close. So tell me how you go from Atlantic City to Africa, Malawi, I believe you said.
Yes.
How'd you end up at Pennsylvania Department of Corrections?
Well, I wanted to come back to the U.S. before I was too old to pay into Social Security, so I'd have something for retirement. So I came back in the middle of that big economic downturn. I'm from Schuylkill County, and all my family's still here. So I came back here and, well, had trouble finding a job. So I worked for the unemployment office, and then I worked for the Bureau of Disability Determination in Harrisburg, and a guy in my carpool said, you should apply for a prison library job. I was like, oh, no, I can't do that. You know, it's dangerous. You know, I don't want to get killed. And eventually, you know, I was petrified of the idea at first, but eventually logic took over, and I thought, well, you can't get killed every day or nobody would work there. And if other people can do it, then so can I. And I actually spent a year applying for jobs. I went on about 5 different interviews. You know, this was during the time that the economy was really down and not all vacancies were being filled right away. And when the hiring freezes lifted, the COs were hired first in most places. So I went as far as Forest for job interviews. So I got to see a bunch of different libraries, and with each experience, I learned more about corrections and what the job might entail. And so by the time I actually got to my first job, I was ready for it, but still had a lot to learn, and I'm still learning a lot about the security environment. But I still get to do a lot of normal library stuff, just adapted for this environment. So I think it's the best library job in the state.
So do I. And you do such a great job at it. And it's really such an important role for us, especially now. I mean, obviously, we're just coming off a big lockdown, and there's been lots of, or at least a fair bit of controversy around, especially around books, around, and certainly the notion that you're sitting at SCI Monnoy with 10,000 books should send a message to folks that we really do get it, and we really do care and understand the value of just people enriching their lives through reading.
Right. I mean, we're open 7 days a week. We're open at least 3 evenings a week so that inmates who are in school full-time or working in jobs here full-time, everybody has an opportunity to get to the library. That we have a system they can request. If we don't have a book that they want, they can request it. And if it's reasonable and we can afford it, we'll get it for them. You know, we're doing a reading challenge now to give them an opportunity to encourage them to read different things, to get beyond just reading the same category that they usually read.
I'm sorry, I thought I heard you say you're doing a reading challenge. Isn't this, are you in a prison?
Yes, we are in a prison, but hey, we're still a library, we can still do library things, and I did go through channels, and everyone thought it was a great idea.
So tell us, what does a reading challenge look like inside a prison in Pennsylvania?
Well, what ours looks like is we're using the PBS Great American Read. I don't know if you've seen that, but they're running an 8-part TV series. And they did all this work coming up with a list of 100 books that were voted as the 100 favorite books of American in fiction. So it's all fiction. It's only one per any a check out of Reed's, any 25 of the books, we give them a 6.8-ounce candy bar. And, you know, they will read for chocolate, but a lot of them read anyway. This is just giving them an incentive to read a wider range of things. But for people who don't really read a lot, it's giving them an incentive. In a week and a half, we've given out over 150 forms to enter the reading challenge. And it's open to all inmates. Every single one can take part. We have a Spanish version for the people who prefer to read in Spanish. And it's also available to people that are in the RHU. So everybody can take part. And there's such a wide variety of books. I mean, there's Charlotte's Web is on the list. And The Little Prince, you know, things that you would have read in high school. Like Where the Red Fern Grows and Call of the Wild. You know, some great classics, but also modern stuff. Like there's Sister Soldier's on there. White Teeth by Zadie Smith. There's Alex Cross, you know, James Patterson stories. There's really a wide variety in crossing all genres. We've had a lot of interest in it, and people have been coming to the library specifically for this, so we're reaching a wider range.
So is the library popular with the folks who are incarcerated with us?
It's popular among a certain set. I mean, the people who speak Spanish are slower to come, but the numbers have been growing. Because now they become more aware that we have things for them to read, and they're not just old stuff. It's popular to authors, popular titles. We have magazines in Spanish as well. People, you know, it's fairly popular. There's, out of 2,400 inmates, we get 25 for Rec Library at a time. Let's see, 8 times 7. Oh, there are like 60 sessions. 60 different sessions a week, because they can come 3 times a week for half an hour at a time. So 25 people times 60 sessions. We get some good turnover. We get a variety of people. I'd say there's at least 300 regulars, and then other people who come, you know, a little less often.
So if I'm incarcerated at SCI Mahanoy, is access to the library going to be an issue for me?
Not at all. You can sign up every single week on Monday night on your block. There's a sign-up sheet. And if you want to go to the library that week, you just go sign up for the day that you want to go. If you're in the restricted housing unit because you did something naughty, then you can send us a request slip and we'll send the books to you every week.
Do you get a lot of requests from the restrictive housing unit?
We just packed them up today to be delivered tomorrow. There were 100 books we put in the cart.
Wow.
Sorry, 97 to be exact. So we get some, you know, we get some good use. Not everybody comes. I don't have statistics, but anecdotally, you know, when I look at the list of who's gone into restrictive housing each day, it's hardly ever anyone who's a regular reader. So library readers don't seem to get into trouble.
We got to study that. Listen, yeah. You may have unlocked the secret to good behavior in prison. Maybe we need to expand and advertise our libraries. But I really do think you have something there, because I think what research is pretty consistent, that individuals who are productively occupied, who have something to do, who are focusing on something beyond self, you know, do better inside prison. And I think that's really a role that reading plays. How would you react to that?
I do think that is a role reading plays, because I've also found that people who are in the restrictive housing, because they have so little to do, they start reading there, and then they get hooked. And, you know, a lot of our regulars, you know, we get people who tell me they've never read a book until they went to the hole, and then they become regulars. Whether they'll keep it up when we get out is what we're working on by trying to give them reasons to come and having things that they'll want to read. So, yeah, I think it definitely has a role to play. I consider this an important part of reentry.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, one of the things. Oh, before I wrap up, because I'm getting the hook here from my producer. But one of the things I wanted to touch on is I understand that the libraries also have like a reentry section.
Yes, we have a section of books that are reentry. We have ours organized into, you know, start your business section, career planning, resume writing. There's a core collection. We also have a program where inmates who are within 9 months of their minimum release date can sign up, and we have one of our inmate workers meet with them one-on-one and help them develop a resume and a cover letter so they can start sending out job applications before they actually leave. And they'll work with them. If they're not sure what they want to do when they get out, we work with them to go through the books on how to choose a career, you know, discover what you're best at type of books. So we'll help them through the process of deciding. deciding what to do, if they want to go to school. We have folks on various colleges, vocational programs, and internships. A lot of them know what they want to do, and they go straight to the resumes and cover letters. And then we started here, after they finished that program, we started a little workshop group where once they come in once every 2 weeks as a group of like four or five, and they go over questions that they might get in an interview, like, tell me about yourself, or why should I hire an ex-felon? So they get practice in answering them.
Well, I got to tell you, one of the things I love about this job and this department in particular is the great people who work for us, and especially the fact that people really care about the job they do. And it's just so obvious to me the great work you're doing at Mahanoy, and especially in the context of the challenging environment of prisons and the notion that the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections is going to release 20,000 people. You know, we're getting a big bang for our buck from our library services. So I certainly want to thank you, and maybe you can help us wrap up by just telling us what really drives you. Like, what about your job really excites you? What gets you to come to work every day with the enthusiasm you clearly bring?
Well, I think, you know, with every librarian, it's not just the job. It's a kind of a calling that you want to do this particular work. And it's great when you come in and you can see you're making a difference. You know, people that would come into the library and barely make eye contact, now that they know that they're welcome in the library and they can get help if they ask for it, you know, no matter how simple the request is, people have opened up, they've become more sociable, they've learned to interact with people a little bit better. From what I see of the people who come into me, you know, they're more fluent when talking and just making a conversation. So it's nice to see you're actually having an effect. It's nice when you see someone comes and says, I love that book you recommended. Just a nice, happy feeling.
Well, that's amazing. And I just want to thank you so much for the work you're doing. And, you know, it's very clear that you are making a difference, and not just in the lives of the people who are coming in there to get books and participate in your reading challenge, but the fact that you know, our goal is that people leave our system better than they came in. And you're certainly playing a key role in that. So thank you very much. And thanks for your time today. I appreciate you letting us interview you and you're spending time on our podcast here.
Well, thank you. It was nice talking to you.
All right. You have a great day and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
All right. Take care.
Bye.